So we started in November and it's getting on May. And by the time I finish this, we will be in May. Amen. And so we're in Nehemiah chapter number 13 tonight. And if you were here last week, you remember what we talked about, that it was a testimony to the people in all of the land. That the people in the book of Nehemiah, which were in Jerusalem, they stood upon the wall, singing and giving praise unto God. It was a testimony to the enemy that the enemy had been defeated. And it was a testimony to God's people of God's goodness. You know what it is when we come into church and give a testimony? It is a testimony to the enemy that although he thought he was going to take us down, he could not beat us. And it's a testimony to the rest of God's people of God's grace and goodness on our life. Many times God will put something on your heart. And I remember there was a time before I was a preacher that the Lord would put a testimony on my heart. My knees would knock and I wouldn't want to get up for anything. Well, can I tell you that that was because the devil's trying to keep you from giving that testimony? Because it may help the person sitting beside you. It may help the person in the back of the room. It may help somebody you never knew it helped. And so the devil wants to stop that from happening. Well, just go ahead and give it anyways. And you'll sit down and you'll think, well, that didn't mean anything to anybody. And maybe it didn't. Maybe it was just for you. But it could have been that it was for somebody else. Either way, you'll never know. I tell people this all the time. You miss 100% of the shots you never take. And so you can't be a blessing to anybody if you stay seated. Amen? And you certainly can't bless the Lord. And that's the most important one to be a blessing to. Amen? So when we testify, we're telling God how good He is. That ought to be what the testimony is. Now, if your testimony is just how many times you push the lawnmower around the yard today, stay seated. We don't want to hear that. But if your testimony is about the goodness of God, that's what you need to give and the people need to hear it. It was a testimony to everyone in Israel and in Jerusalem about God's goodness and His mercy and His long-suffering toward His people. And that's how we ended chapter number 12. We get to chapter number 13 and it starts on that day. Now, this is why it's important to study God's Word. We can take that as meaning at the end of chapter number 12. But that's not necessarily what that means here. See, Nehemiah had been gone for a little while between chapter number 12 and chapter number 13. If you'll remember back in chapter number 2, Artaxerxes asked him how long he would be gone, meaning that there would be a time he would return to Artaxerxes. So Nehemiah, true to his word, did go back for a short amount of time. And we'll read a little bit about that further on down. But it says on that day. So this is a different day than we ended chapter number 12 on. And there has been a little bit of time. I was sort of glad that Doug read from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, Paul had been gone from the church at Corinth for a little bit. And when he came back, he had to admonish them when he wrote back to them because things weren't exactly the way they were when he left. Well, when Nehemiah returns to Jerusalem, things weren't exactly the way they were when he left. Now, we've been talking a lot about revival in the book of Nehemiah, and it is a great book of revival. But let me give you a warning. If you don't work for it, revival doesn't last very long. If you don't keep yourself alive, you're not going to stay alive very long. Why do we have to have revival meetings once a year or twice a year or three times a year? Some churches have them every other week, it seems like. Oh, we broke out in spontaneous revival. Well, you just had one 2 weeks ago. Did you die that quick? Can I tell you why we have to? It's because we do die that quick. It's because we get out of the hospital, which is revival, and we go right back to the life we were living before, and it takes us right back to that place. If we're not careful, and if we don't strive to keep it, we won't stay revived. You know, in the New Testament, you don't see the word revival or revive unless something is actually being brought back to life. That is an Old Testament word. Do you know why? It was the New Testament church. They were a young church. They didn't need to be revived. They were alive. They never died. You know why we need revival? It's because we get away from what God wants. And you know how that happens? Same way it happened in Corinth. Same way we're about to read about in the book of Nehemiah. The world seeps in and the flesh rises up and smothers out revival. It says, on that day, they read in the book of Moses. You want to know the best way to find out whether or not you need revived? Read God's word. The second you read God's word, you'll find out whether or not something's right or wrong with you. I remember Mama. Mama was the greatest doctor that ever lived. You know why? She had one of them old health encyclopedias. And she'd go through and she'd look at your symptoms and you've got this and you got that. And every prescription was either a hot toddy or a Tylenol. Everyone. That was it. That took care of everything. Your leg could be hanging off and she'd hand you a Tylenol. But she'd first go through that old book of home remedies and that old encyclopedia of what was wrong with you. And so we used to laugh about her and Mom and we'd say the doctor was in. Well, you want to know how to diagnose whether or not something's wrong with you? Read the Word of God. You'll find out real quick whether or not something's wrong with you. You'll find out real quick because it'll put you under conviction. That's what the Word of God ought to do. We have too much sugarcoating in preaching today. And that's why nobody thinks there's anything wrong with them. You have all these churches and their 15-minute motivational speech by a man in skinny jeans and a V-neck t-shirt. Number one, we don't have a single preacher in this church that you would ever want to see in a pair of skinny jeans. I promise you that not one. None of us are even the size that there should be anything skinny or slim associated with us. That's why we don't preach that way. You know why? Because the world needs to hear truth. You know what happens when the world doesn't hear truth? You end up outside in a tent encamped protesting Israel. It's craziness. Craziness. The world needs to hear truth. Truth. So Nehemiah gives them the book of Moses. And where was the book of Moses read? In the audience of the people. You know what's important about coming to church? Because we're the audience of the people. How are you ever going to hear what God's trying to give you if you're never there? I've said it this way 1,000 times, probably said it here before, but it'll work again. It's a good recipe. You know what the problem is in my house when I was growing up? You did not get to choose what we had to eat. Kids these days are spoiled rotten. Because now it's, well, little Jimmy wants pizza and little Susie wants a hamburger and Mom and Dad want lasagna. Well, you know what would have been served when I was growing up? Lasagna. That would have been it. And if you wanted to eat, you would show up to the table and you would gladly eat your lasagna. You know why? Because one of these days pizza might get served. And if you're not at the table every time, you'll never get what you're looking for. But can I tell you that even though I didn't want lasagna, lasagna was still good for me. And lasagna still kept me fueled and it kept me fed and ready for the next time. You know, the problem in our world today is that people quit showing up to the table. Well, I'm not getting fed. I get so tired of hearing Christians say they're not getting fed. You can't get fed if you don't show up at eating time. If you miss every other service, no, you're not getting fed. But that's not Kurt's fault. That's not my fault. Not Mark's fault. Because the Lord's the one who gives the food. We just set the table. That's all it is. Preaching is setting the table. The Lord gives the food. That's the message. You know what he told us to do? He didn't tell us to be chefs. He told us to feed his sheep. We're supposed to be servants. So that's what the preacher does. And so if you don't get fed, don't blame the preacher. Because the preacher was feeding the sheep. You just weren't here to eat. And so, in the audience of the people. So that's what we are. We're the audience of the people. And so if we're going to eat, we got to show up to eat. And the people here showed up. And they said, we want what we're going to get. Well, I like it there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. He said, I couldn't give you meat because you can't get off the milk. You know what? I'm glad for some Christians who desire the meat of the word. That's why you're here on Wednesday night. You're desiring the meat of the word. It's not just about the milk. This church desires the meat of the word. I love it. But it's not everywhere. And it's not every Christian. A lot of people can't chew the meat yet. They've never got off the milk. And so these people, listen, this is the book of Moses. This is the Pentateuch. This is the meat of the word. You really got to want to read, because you're going to get a lot of names and you're going to get a lot of begats. And then you get into Leviticus and your head explodes. But they were desiring the word of God. They wanted it. And they had desired it once before. You know what the problem was? They had gotten away from it. Why did they get away from it? Because Nehemiah left town. When the cat's away, the mice will play. That's why it's so important, especially now, without a pastor, that you need to show up. You know why? Because you need the word now more than ever. And until you get a pastor, you need to keep showing up. It's always confused me on churches that when they don't have a pastor, everybody seems to disappear. And then they come back when they get a pastor. Well, a lot of those churches didn't want the pastor anyways. They don't want to be pastored. And so, but they'll show back up anyways. And it's like, it's so weird to me, because we shouldn't be here for the pastor. We should be here for the word of God. That's still being preached around here. Amen. Should not matter who's preaching it. Aggravates me so much. People will say, well, if you're going to have a revival and you really want to get big numbers, you got to bring in a big preacher. Well, why do I need a big preacher when I got a big God? We just need the Lord. And so it is so important right now in your life to stay with it, to stay with the stuff, because the devil would like nothing more to get in and say, well, there's no pastor there. You don't need to go tonight. Well, I'll go back when I get a pastor. Well, you need to be in there now, because you need to be fed now more than ever, because most of the time sheep don't eat on their own. And if we're honest, we don't eat like we ought to. Listen, I like to eat 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. I like to eat. You probably can't tell that by looking at me. I appreciate that. Nobody said amen. But can I tell you that if we're only eating 3 times a week, we're starving ourselves. We're starving ourselves. We need to feed ourselves too. But sheep don't want to eat. That's why it's so important. If you're not going to feed yourself, you got to be here. Or you will starve to death spiritually. You will. Because whatever is left in a void, something will fill it. If you dig a hole, something's going to fill that hole. Either an animal's going to get down in there, water's going to get down in there. Something is going to fill that void. I promise you that. And in your spiritual life, if you leave room, the devil will find something to fill that void with. Before long, after missing church, you don't miss church anymore. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because that was me one time. I got to the point where I didn't miss it. Now, I got whipped with a belt every Sunday morning. And that wasn't dad or mom. It was the Lord. Amen. The Lord would whip me. But you get to the point where you're just like, well, listen, I'll say it this way. Carl, if you were to go down to the gas station and you were to steal a pack of gum today, you might be nervous as all get out to steal that pack of gum. But if you get away with it, it'll embolden you to steal something bigger the next time. Before long, you'll rob a bank. You know why? That's how the flesh is. We get away with something, we want more. If we get away with something that's pleasurable, and the flesh is pleasurable, if we get away with that, we want more and more and more. And so sin takes hold in your life. That's what was going on in Jerusalem. We're not long after revival. And already sin has entered into the camp. It says, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Well, that's interesting. Why would they specifically call that out? God will call out your sin when you read the word of God. And he'll specifically call it out. You might be able to hide it to everybody else, and nobody else in this room might know about it. But God knows about it. When you're reading his word, he will deal with it. And so he calls out a specific sin. He says the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Why? Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. So, it's talking about a mixed congregation. We've got to be very, very careful in the day we live in with a mixed congregation. There are some churches that are so full of unregenerated believers. I give you that in air quotes. Seeker-friendly churches. That the devil's running the church and people don't even know it. There is nothing more dangerous than an unregenerated religious zealot. Because they have no basis for why they have the zeal. And so they'll destroy things. And there's churches that are filled with them. You know why? Because if you create a void, the devil will find something to fill it. Where God creates a Christian, the devil creates a church member. An unregenerated church member. Now, listen, I believe in church membership, amen. I wholeheartedly believe in it. But here's the problem. Is too many churches have gone slack on actually talking to people that they bring into the church. You got to be very careful. You don't know what somebody believes unless you ask them. And you just bring in people to the church and all of a sudden, half the church doesn't believe what you believe. I preached at a church, it's been about a year and a half ago, and I got a warning from the church before I came in. They said, now half of our church believes in eternal security and half doesn't. How? How can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you be a family when you're like that? That's why the Bible talks about being equally yoked. Equally yoked in your marriage. Well, what are we? We're the bride of Christ. There should not be division in the bride. So, people will tell you today, just preach Jesus, don't preach doctrine. That's silly. That's crazy. What did Jesus teach and preach? They said, what kind of doctrine is this? So if Jesus preached doctrine, why wouldn't we? And how can you preach Jesus without preaching proper doctrine? It's crazy. This is the world we live in today. And it's not much different than the world that Paul was dealing with. And it's not much different than the world that Nehemiah was dealing with. Why? Same devil. Same devil. And the devil does not have more than three tricks. It's all he got. But he knows how to use them very, very well. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's it. You can call them out. The devil is so prideful, he will sign it. And we'll co-sign it. Because we're just as prideful. If we're not careful. That's why we need the word of God. And it says, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them. Why? Why were the Ammonites and the Moabites not allowed into the congregation? Because they had mistreated God's people. Well, why would we allow lost people to run our churches? They mistreated God's people. Why would we allow that? We can't. You say, well, preacher, where does that happen? Well, thank God it's never happened here as long as I've been around here. But be careful. Be very careful. It can happen. I've seen it happen to strong churches over and over and over. The wrong people come in and they begin to run a country club instead of a hospital for the lost. Instead of I heard a man earlier this week and he said, we should look more like hospitals and Bible colleges. Actually, I think we should look like both. You know why? Because we need to be teaching people the word of God. We need to help the hurting, but we need to strengthen the brethren. Amen. And so that's why God will put a different message on a man. Sometimes he'll preach straight doctrine. Sometimes he'll preach a salvation message. Sometimes he'll preach something totally off the wall, but if God gives it to him, go ahead. Can I tell you what the problem is? Is most of our churches over the last 30, 40 years have had a lot of pastors that just preach straight salvation. They never get into the meat of the word. Thank God we had a pastor in Homer Hensley who was strong on the meat, amen. We ate steak for years. Praise God for that. I'm thankful when the word of God steps on my toes. You know why? Because I need it if it happens. I need it. Actually, I needed it to hit my heart. Amen? But it'll step on your toes and get to your heart. Blood has a way of doing that. Can I tell you that if you're not careful, you'll end up like Nehemiah, or you'll end up like Jerusalem, or you'll end up exactly like the church at Corinth. We have to be careful. Now, It says this, "Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing." Remember in Numbers 23 when Balak hired Balaam to go against the people of God, and what happened? They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God turned that evil into blessing. Can I tell you, God can turn a curse into a blessing real quick? Y'all know my story. You know where I've been. I felt like a couple years ago I was cursed. Can I tell you, God turned that into a blessing? Probably the biggest blessing of my ministry. God's good at that. There's places you've been in the last few years, and you thought that you were cursed. You thought that it was a curse brought upon your life, but God meant it for good. Can I tell you, that's how God works. Sometimes we can't see the whole picture. If we could, we'd try to change it. Man, there are chapters of my story I would rewrite in a heartbeat. If I had the pen and the eraser, I would erase some of them and I would rewrite some of them. But I wouldn't be where I am today if I did it. You're where you are today because somebody or something tried to curse you along the way. And God turned the curse into a blessing. This could be a really bad situation right here for Nehemiah. And you know what? It would be real easy for Nehemiah to go, you know what? Just going to turn around and go back to Artaxerxes. It was easy back over there. I forgot how good I had it over there. But he comes back and he says, this got to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. Look in verse number 3. Now it came to pass when they heard the law. Man, isn't that something? That they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Came to pass when they heard the law. So as the word of the Lord was read, as the law was read, when they heard it, it changed something. Evidence demands a verdict, and preaching demands a response. Preaching will hit your heart. It'll touch your heart or it'll prick your heart. Either way, it demands a response. When you read the Word of God, it demands a response. And if the Word of God has come to you and said you need to change something about your life, don't hold on to it. Change it. That's what repentance is. That's what real repentance is. You know why we don't see revival much anymore? And I'm not going to belabor the point because I've already done it. Earlier on in Nehemiah, we don't see real revival because we don't have real repentance anymore. No, we have a lot of remorse, but we have very little repentance. See, remorse will make you cry. Remorse will make you sorry, but repentance will change you. You'll get rid of it. You won't just keep it around. And it says, when they heard the law, that they separated from Israel. Do you know why a lot of people don't want you to preach on real doctrine today? Because it'll cause you to separate from some things. We're to be a called out assembly. We're to be a church without spot and blemish. Says he's preparing a church. Well, how can he prepare it if we won't listen to his word? And if we won't listen to doctrine? Holiness is still a thing. Well, preacher, you say that every Wednesday night. Well, yeah, because holiness is still a thing. And God has to remind us of that. That holiness is real doctrine. And it says they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. When they heard the word of God, they repented for mixing with the wrong people. And they separated themselves from those people. Well, what should we separate on? Well, that is a whole other message. I've got one for it, but it's not going to be tonight. But here's what you should really separate on. If anybody preaches a gospel other than salvation by grace through faith, you ought to separate from them. If anybody preaches on anything and takes out repentance, you ought to separate from them. If they preach a bloodless religion, you ought to separate from them. And if they take away from Jesus, the deity of Jesus, you ought to separate from them. Now, I got a whole list of things you ought to separate from, but those are the most important we need to understand. That's what Nehemiah is dealing with here. He's saying if you have any other doctrine than what is in the Word of God, you must be separated from. There's a whole lot of false doctrine in the world today. Whole lot of false doctrine. And it can get you messed up real quick if you don't study the Word of God. You know why? Because the devil knows the Word and he twists it. He'll twist it in your mind. He'll twist. Did it really say that? Isn't that what he said to Eve? Yea, hath God said. Does it really say that? He even tried it with Jesus. He quoted the scripture wrong to Jesus. Who wrote it? Tried to twist it around on him. You better know your scripture. You better understand your Bible. And you better know the context behind it. There is so much out of context preaching today. Listen, I like all different types of preaching. But topical preaching is of a concern today because too many people try to make the Bible say what their topic means instead of letting their topic mean what the Bible says. We've got to be careful of that. Too much worldliness in the church will change the church really quick. And too much godliness in the world will change the world real quick. That's why they don't want it. We need more godliness in the world. But that's why the devil doesn't want it. It says, and before this, Eliashib, whatever you want to say, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was called unto Tobiah, or was allied unto Tobiah. Y'all remember Tobiah? We'd have to go back a couple months. But in chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, and even in chapter number 4, Tobiah was a real subject because he was friends with a man named Sanballat. And they were enemies of Israel. Well, how was a priest of Israel allied with an enemy of God? Well, that's why you got to be careful about separating. Listen, it is so important that this church gets the right man. Because the wrong man can mess you up real quick. Nehemiah left the scene, and guess who showed up? Eliashib and his old friend Tobiah. And look what happened. It says, and he prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the priests and the offerings of the priests. Tobiah, an enemy of God's people, had taken up permanent residence inside God's temple. How? How could this have happened? That's why it's so important to stay on guard, to stay in the Word of God. Nehemiah had not been gone that long. And here they were with Tobiah taking up residence in the house of God. Here's the amazing part. Guess what got rooted out? The jobs of the men of God. The Levites who would prepare the frankincense, who would prepare the meat offerings, the vessels and the tithes of corn and the new wine had all been moved out so that the world could be moved in. Be very, very careful because the devil wants to move godliness out and he wants to move worldliness in. I look and you can't tell a lot of churches from nightclubs anymore. You can't tell a difference in them. And you can't tell by the way the people act either. You know why? Because at some point godliness went out one door as worldliness came in. Now let me say there's nothing wrong with a backdoor revival. You say, what is that? That's when the Word of God gets in and some people go out the back door. Because if they can't stand the preaching of the Word of God, the real preaching of the Word of God, they need to go out the back door so you can get God's real people in the front door. Can I say that worldliness wants to seep in everywhere you turn? In music, in Bibles. I was joking with Kurt. Doug said, turn in your King James Bible. I said, well, what happens when I have an NIV? Kurt said, well, I guess it just won't mean what it says. You won't understand what he's reading. And that's the truth. But can I tell you, I looked at Kurt and I said, well, is 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians still in some of these Bibles? Because it deals with worldliness. It's probably done gone out by this point. You've got so many different Bibles, and they're not God's Word anymore. They've been corrupted. That's why it's so important. That's why the right Bible is important. That's why the right music is important. What was the devil? Now, he's a choir director in heaven. You don't think he knows how to manipulate music? And is the devil a red, horned, ugly beast? No, the Bible actually says he was beautiful. Can I tell you that's what he'll do? He'll come to you, he'll look real pretty, and he'll corrupt you right now. When he came to Eve as a serpent, now I'm telling you right now, if a snake comes up to me and it's got arms and legs, I'm going to kick it. We ain't going to be friends. But Eve wasn't bothered by it. Why? Because he was subtle. It's beautiful to look on. It took a form that it wasn't threatening to Eve. People say, oh, some of this Christian music, it's not a threat. It surely is. And you better be careful about letting it in. Because once you do, then the Bible changes. You say, oh, preacher, it's not that serious. It absolutely is that serious. And I said it the other week, and I'll say it again. You'd be better off listening to hardcore rap music than some of the so-called Christian music that's out there. You say, preacher, did you really say that? Yeah, it won't change your doctrine. It won't mess you up spiritually. Now, I don't want you listening to any of that. I'm not saying that. But here's what I'm saying. It's just as dangerous. And just because it's called Christian doesn't mean that it is. The devil can slap a label on anything he wants to. We've got to be so careful about this stuff. Because here's the deal. Anybody that's doing this stuff just to make money, is that really the Christian way to do it? The first thing you ought to want to do is honor God. And if it makes you think about anything else but God, it ought not be on your radio. It ought not be what's in your head. Because that stuff will infiltrate you and it'll mess you up. So it gets into churches. And before long, we compromise on other things. Why? Because it was hard to steal the pack of gum. Once you steal it, it gets easier to do it over and over again. Once you compromise, it gets easier to compromise over and over again. And before long, there's no standard, and Tobiah is living in the church. Tobiah's taking up a dwelling place. Well, I'm almost done. I don't want to belabor this very long because I may not finish next week. Man alive, I'm only on verse number 5. And he had prepared for him a great chamber. But look in verse number 6. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. That's where I'm going to end it on that phrase. Can I tell you, we need some Nehemiahs who say, not on my watch. I wasn't here when it happened, but I surely ain't going to stand for it. We need some Nehemiahs who are just going to say, I'm not going to stand for that. If it ain't in my Bible, if it ain't in the Word of God, it ain't coming in. It ain't getting past my ear gate, not going in my eye gate. Not going to do it, not passing through. You know what happens is the devil, once he gets in, he don't just come in, hurt things and destroy things and move out. He establishes a stronghold. Tobiah's about to get an eviction notice. But it ain't going to be easy to get that spirit out. It ain't going to be easy to get that. It's going to dwell for a while. Can I tell you, we need some Nehemiahs who just say, but in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. Not on my watch. We ain't going to let that stuff in here on our watch. We need a church that says we're going to be Nehemiah. And it ain't coming past the gate. It ain't getting by the wall. I worked too hard to build that wall. The Lord's labored too much. We've had too much praise. We've had too much real worship. We've had too much Bible to let any of that in. We've got to be very, very careful. Not everything that says it is something actually is. Eliashib, if you look back in, I think it was chapter number 6, Nehemiah figured him out pretty quick. He figured out that he was all about himself and he was all about being on Tobiah's payroll. And if Nehemiah got rid of him back then, we probably wouldn't be facing this problem in chapter number 13. So easy to let sin stick around and go, that's not a big deal. I think I've dealt with it. You better be sure you've dealt with it, because it creeps back in here on Nehemiah. And now he is going to deal with it. Now he's going to put a stop to it. Can I tell you, just don't let it get in. When you figure it out that it's in, get rid of it. Anybody in here hate spiders? Yeah. Okay. You don't let them just stick around? If you see one on the nightstand beside the bed, you just going to let it be there and go back to sleep? No. Why do we do that with sin? Why do we do that with compromise? Why do we let it just stick around? Kill it. Get rid of it, especially if it's a wolf spider. It's got all them babies on its back. It's what sin does. You ever killed one of them things? All them little tiny spiders? Man, that freaks me out. Ugh, that's of the devil. It's what sin does. It puts its little claws out. It'll stick around if you'll let it. When I kill one of them wolf spiders, I'm killing everything. I don't care what I'm spraying on it. Something's going to kill it. It's how you ought to react to sin. Don't let it stick around. Don't compromise on the things of God. You've been taught too long. You know better. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because most of y'all taught me. You had an influence on my life. You've come too far to let anything in now. Don't do it. Don't let worldliness in. Keep going for God. Keep God first in all things. And stay in the Word of God. Father God, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise your holy name. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you for these dear people, for the impact they've had on my life. Lord, I pray for the business meeting that's upcoming, Lord. Lord, and I pray that you just continue to have unity in the church, Lord. Lord, and I pray, God, that you'll just continue to bless this church. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the roots that I've grown in this place, Lord. Lord, wherever I go, whatever I do, Lord, I'll always be rooted back to this place, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll always help me to look back and always remember all the good times, Lord. Lord, don't let them compromise, Lord. Let them stick with the stuff in Jesus' name. Amen. You know why it's so important? I thought I'd lost something the other day, and I'm almost done, I know. I thought I'd lost something the other day, Brother Kurt, and it was something really, really dear and near and dear to my heart. I don't know if you're like me. When we moved from Dunbar out to Alum Creek, there were some boxes we never unboxed. We're finding them now. And I kept trying to figure out where in the world my ordination certificate was. Could not find it anywhere. Couldn't find it. And I said, you know what? Over there, there's a couple boxes. Look through them, and it wasn't there. I started to panic. I know I was ordained, amen. That's not a question. I've got it.
Yeah, I remember it.
But it's so important. Yeah, you're on there. I saw your name. I found it. When I found it, you know why that's so important? Because it says something on it. It says that I was ordained under the authority of Elizabeth Baptist Church. And Homer Hensley's signature was on it. Well, I can't replace that. I could have a couple years ago, but I can't replace it now. It's the original. But can I tell you why that's so important? Because forever, I will be tied back to Elizabeth Baptist Church. So if one day Elizabeth Baptist Church looks like a nightclub up here, that's where my ordination certificate's from. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't believe that. But you better be careful. And you better be a Nehemiah and say, as long as I'm here, that ain't going to happen. We ain't going that way. The rest of the world can go that way. Let them. Let them fill up their sanctuary, or they like to call them auditoriums. Let them fill that up. Let them fill up their offering plates. But you know what else they're filling up? They're filling up hell with unregenerated non-believers. We need real churches, and they're few and far between. And if this one ever starts to go that way, I'm only 4 hours away, and I will come back. And I'll come back with my belt. Amen. I love y'all. I love you. It's been so important in my life to have been here. You don't know the impact that you've had on me. Can I tell you this? You don't know the impact that you now get to have in Lincoln County, North Carolina. you get to now impact two Lincoln counties. That's an amazing thing. You don't know what that means. Don't ever let it slip. It's worth fighting for. It's worth contending for. You say, preacher, do you really think that'll happen? No, but sometimes preventative medicine is just as good as the remedy to the problem. Sometimes you just got to prevent it, because I've seen it. We've been in enough churches, Kurt. We've seen it. We've been in enough that we've seen it. And we can't let it happen here. It's worth fighting for.